Should we pray again and ask God to be with us as we spend some time listening to His Word? Father, we thank You once again. We praise You for who You are. We pray, God, that You will help us to discern what's happening in the world today, God. At the same time, God, be conscious of what You want us to do as people who love You. And so, Lord, we pray that You'll help us in our journey and help us, Lord, to discern Your will, Your purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, throughout my pastoral ministry, I realize I've been a pastor for some years. One of the questions people will tend to come and ask you or ask me is, you know, Pastor, how do I know God's will? Right? We want to know what is God's will in our lives. We want to know what God is expecting in our lives, right? Not only now, but also in the future. People are always searching. Because as human beings, we want to know what is the future, right? We want to be prepared for the future. We want to do the right things for the future. And so as Christians, many a times, you know, whenever we pray, not only we pray for God's blessings in our lives, we ask God, Lord, talk to me about my future. I want to know, right, what is about my future, because I want to be in Your purposes, in Your plan. I think that's always a human desire, and I've also noted it throughout my ministry that people are coming to me, right, and are talking to me. It's good. It's good to know about the future too, right? It's good to know because it's important for us. And I know whenever I read newspaper articles, sometimes I tend to see the forecast, right? We want to see what's going to be the weather for the coming week so we can prepare, right, things for our lives, right? If you want to buy a property, we want to look at the forecast to see, you know, what's going to be the property market, because now it has gone down for a while, right? It is almost like coming down, right? Maybe it's a good time to just wait and see what is going to happen, right? We want to see in terms of the job prospects, you know, if I doing a study on particular or maybe majoring in this particular area, is there some kind of job prospect for me? And so what's happening, you know, whatever we do, we are always conscious of tomorrow. We are always thinking about our future because we want to be doing some things which is will be relevant for the future. And so in this particular passage, James is talking about, he's encouraging the believers, the Christians, right? It's important for us to know, not only to know God's will, God's desires, or God's purposes. And in this particular passage, he's talking about some of the things that we tend not to do, kind of a thing. In other words, he says, you know, these are some of the mistakes as believers we tend to do. And so he's just reminding them, you know, many a times we take our Christian life for granted. And so I'm a Christian, I'm doing this, and so I believe this is God's will. And so James is saying, not only these are lessons for us, he's reminding us, you know, sometimes we tend to do mistakes of this nature. And so he's just reminding the believers not only to take your Christian life, right, for granted, but I think we need to be very careful in terms of discerning God's will, in terms of understanding what's God's will for our life. If you look at the passage that was just read to us, James, right? James from chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. You know, I realize when you look at this particular passage, James is talking about, you know, two guys who are talking, right? Now listen, you who say, can you imagine? No, he's talking about today or tomorrow, we will go to these two businessmen sitting down at Starbucks or Tim Hortons, right? Or Coffee Time, right? Or Timothy's Coffee or David's Tea, right? You can just name it. They're just sitting down, they're talking about today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city, we will spend a year there. Right? We will carry on business. Can you imagine? They were planning, they were strategizing, they were telling themselves, you know, we want to start some kind of a venture, some kind of a business. And so these are the things. And when you look at this particular passage, there's nothing wrong in planning. You know, I know some of you are in the business market, right? Or have degrees in business. And I think we tend to talk about when. They are talking about when, today or tomorrow, which is good. Wonderful, right? They're talking about where should we be going? Because probably they did some kind of study to see, if I start a business in this particular area, probably it will boom, because people need that. And so they are looking at it, and how long it's worth the investment for a year, or maybe a year or two. And so they are looking at timeline, you know. They have studied the market, they have looked at the demographics of it, you know, what to do. They want to do business, right? And then, why? We want to make money, right? At the end of the day, they wanted to make money. You know, if you look at it, any business person, anyone in this business line will know this is wonderful strategy, right? It's when, you know, the timing is important. You don't just go in because the timing, you need to be conscious of the time. You need to know where. You cannot be just dumping your money, you know, wherever you like. You need to know exactly where you need to be putting your money in, right? And the time and everything. It's wonderful. So James is saying, you know, you guys, you know what to do, right? You're doing. But then in this particular instance, James is saying, sometimes you tend to take things for granted. He says, you know, and it's, as I said, you know, it's good to plan, right? He who fails to plan fails to fail. And these are some of the famous quotes you will see. It pays to plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, right? So it's important to plan ahead. You know, to be prepared is half the victory. A good plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. So, and even the scripture talks about it, go to the end, right? In Proverbs chapter 6. And so when James says, it's good. But then you realize what's happening in this particular passage. Like the first lesson or the first mistake, they were planning without God. They knew exactly where to go, how long, in terms of how much we should be investing, right? They knew the market pretty well. They would be wonderful, successful businessmen. But I think what was happening, if you realize, there is no mention of the word God here. And that's why James uses the word arrogance and all that in the later part, right? There's no mention of God in this particular things, right? And so, but then James also says in verse 15, he says, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. In other words, he's saying, you know, yes, it's wonderful to plan. It's wonderful to strategize things. It's wonderful to start something new. But then you have to realize and tell yourself, if it's the Lord's will, if it's the Lord's way, we will live and do this and we'll do that. And if it's the Lord's will, we will succeed. If it's the Lord's will, we will do this. And I think that should be the way. And that's how he's talking here. When you look at the text very carefully, I was just looking at reading James. I realized, I know, James is trying to tell, you know, these things. Sometimes we give preference to God's will, right? As Christians, you know, sometimes we take things for granted, right? We always say, if it's the Lord's will. But are we serious about it? We say, yeah, Pastor Vincent, I'm taking this course, and I know it's the Lord's will. Yes, we tend, as Christians, you know, let me tell you, we always take this lame excuse, you know, if the Lord wills. But are we really seriously have sat down and asked ourselves, or even prayed about it, and say, Lord, this is the course, or this is the career I'm looking at. If it's your will, lead me. I'm going for this particular thing. Have you prayed about it? Have you sought his guidance? Have you read the scriptures? Have you spoken to your Christian friends and got some kind of advice? You know, sometimes it's very easy to say, right? If it's the Lord's will. We just make reference to God's will. One of my fear, I think I've shared in my, you know, my EMT group is, you know, as a pastor, sometimes one of the greatest temptation when people come and tell you, you know, pray for me, you will say, yeah, you know, yes, I'll pray for you. Or sometimes you want to cut short the conversation, you will say, I'll pray for you, right? There were times, right, I tend to forget. And so nowadays what I do, when I say that I'll pray for you, I'll pray for the particular person there and then. It's easy to say, I'll pray for you, right? And then forget about it, the whole thing. And so as Christians, I think the temptation is, yeah, if it's the Lord's will, but did we sit down? Did we talk to God about it? Did we seek his guidance? Did we pray about it? Did we speak to friends who are familiar or Christian groups who are familiar and got their guidance. I think that's what James is saying. You know, we just gave, you know, just reference to it, you know, and we don't really, we're not serious about it. Secondly, you know, when you look at it, when I look at sometimes, you know, what happens, we make deference to God's will, right? In other words, we are unhappy, but we still do it. We know it is God's will. We are not happy about it, right? But we still, we want to do it. I think, as I know, some of you know, you know, when sometimes your parents ask you to do this, you don't want to do that. But what to do? Out of respect, because, you know, I belong to that particular family, I have to do it. And so sometimes as Christians, you know, we can become like that. You know, but you're not, your heart and mind is not there, right? And you just do it because I'm a Christian, so I have to do it, kind of a thing. And then when you look at this particular passage and the entire book of James, you know, James is actually talking about the preference to God's will. In other words, James is saying, you know, Lord, your way is the best way. Preference to God's will. In other words, Lord, this is your way, and I know this is the best thing, you know, and I will just do whatever that you are actually showing me, right? Whatever you want me to do. And so that's what James is talking about. And he's saying that, you know, it's painful, Lord, and I know it's going to be painful, but then I will do it because you want me to do. It's hard, but I want to do it because, you know, you want me to go through that. When you go to a doctor, your doctor will say, you know, yeah, you need some kind of operation. It's hard, you don't like, right? But then you need to go through that. Then you'll be better later on, right? You'll be able to walk, or you'll be able to do the things that you've been doing. Yes. And so James is saying, yes, it's hard. Not like the previous one. You don't really have a heart for it. Here you have a heart for it, but you know it's going to be difficult, right? Yes, I want to fulfill God's will, and I know it's going to be challenging. But Lord, you know the bigger picture. You know my life. You know this is important for me. And so because of that, I will go through. It is going to be a painful surgery in my life. But I know at the end of the day, at the end of the surgery, you know, I will be able to do things as any other normal person. Right? Secondly, the second one, you did not have the heart, but you do it out of it. But the third one, you know it's hard. You love the Lord, right? You know it is God wants you to do this. Lord, it's difficult for me. I will do it because it's always important to do God's will. I think that's the first lesson. I think as Christians, we sometimes take things for granted, right? And we are it's easy to say, it's yeah, the Lord's will. If the Lord's will, but are we serious about when we use the word the Lord's will? Are we doing it half-hearted? We just do it because I'm a Christian. How are we saying, Lord, I know that you know the bigger picture. Right? Like the sheep. We were just reading the word. I always ask myself why, you know, a Bible refers to us as sheep. Right? In the olden days, I think what was happening, I think Jesus was always, you know, it was a shepherd life. You see a lot of sheep around there. And so there were a lot of shepherds in those days. But one of the reasons for the scriptures to use the word sheep, because the sheep is always short-sighted. It cannot see far. Right? As is human beings, you know, we are like the sheep. Many times we can't see far. But the Lord actually has seen far ahead, my friend. Right? And we are many times attracted by other things, other greener pastures. But the Lord says, no, right? You just listen to my voice, right? It's hard, but when you do it, right, you just go through because I know the bigger picture. I know what is important for you. So planning without God, this is the first lesson, you know, James is talking about. Secondly, he talks about in verse 14, right? It's presuming about tomorrow. In verse 14, he says, why? Do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? Right? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You know, sometimes I know in Christian life or in when James is writing, they were not thinking about, they were thinking, they were not really serious about tomorrow, kind of a thing, right? Or in other words, I think they were just postponing things. And so they were just assuming or even presuming about tomorrow. So he reminds them, he says, you know, life is unpredictable, right? Life is unpredictable because when you look at the word, you do not know, right, what will happen tomorrow, right? Don't wait for tomorrow to come, my friend, because tomorrow might not come. So life is unpredictable, and that's what James is trying to say. That's why you know not what will happen. You know, the more I read the newspapers, and I know we do not know what's going to happen. There might be another Korean War, right? There might be another turnaround in the economy. We do not know, right? We read a lot of terrorist attack that's happening, right? We do not know. We might be the next target. We do not know, my friend, right? It's happening in a church, right? The church was burned. It can happen to us. And so what's happening? I think life is unpredictable. And so we presume about tomorrow. We do not know, right? And so life is unpredictable. And so he's saying that we need to be very serious about life, about the life that God has actually given to us, right? And make full use of it, right? And life is brief. It's like a mist. Today, you know, how many of you use perfume? Don't put your hands. I know all of you, right? I'm not going to ask you the brand, right? I have one brand in my washroom. I have an expensive brand in my bedroom, right? And today I was using my perfume, and I was pressing my perfume. I saw the vapor for a while, right? I saw the fragrance. No, I smelled the fragrance, you know, and then it disappeared, right? Even the smell will disappear, right? You after some time. That's why every few hours you need to spray. A bit by bit, right? And so life is very brief, my friend. It's like a vapor, right? It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. So I think what is happening here, you know, it's what James is trying to say in this particular text. You know, he is saying, right? He is saying this, you know, plan for future, but live for today. In other words, you know, this is what God wants to do in my life. And so you need to be doing today. In other words, live for today, right? Live for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, it doesn't come, right? But, you know, I know maybe God has a desire for my life, and this is what I want to do. But whether it happens, if the Lord wills, it will become a reality in my life. If it's not, right? Probably he's going to lead me something else. And I just want to be doing what God wants me to do today, right? Sincerely, trusting him, having faith and confidence in him. And that's why this, you know, the word says, my times are in your hands, O Lord. And so what's happening? You know, we need to live today. Today, I want to be obedient. I want to be faithful to God. Yes, you know, this is what God has, what's what I desire, and I've been praying about it. Maybe there might be a career change in my life. But what's happening? I'm faithful each and every moment. I'm doing it. God, in his sovereign plan, maybe has a different plan altogether for my life. Right? And so what James is saying, you know, do what is expected today. Right? And do it faithfully. Live. Because the future might be different. The future might be what you've been thinking. The future might be something. God has much more, you know, a bigger thing in your life. I remember when I was in the U.S., my wife and I, when we were there, the first 3 months was a difficult time for me. And I told my wife every time I came back home, I said, let's go back to Singapore. Because for at least for 2 months, you know, in my class, I didn't have any friends. They saw me like a National Geographic kind of a person. They looked at me from far because I was different. Like most of my friends were black and white, you know, and when I was in between in terms of color. So, you know, I came back home, I told my wife, I said, I think let's pack our bag and go back. I don't like to be in that place. Then I remember my wife, you know, she's a wonderful person. She told me, you know, I think God has a purpose for you. I didn't like to go to class. I didn't like, there were certain classes that were, can you imagine there were only 5 people in the class, certain classes, some were more than 100. And in my 5 people class, you know, sometimes they don't talk to you. They think as if you are from Asia, you do not know anything kind of a thing. It was difficult. By the way, I did very well, probably better than some of my classmates, you know. But I, you know, it was a real struggle. But my wife, each and every day, will say, you know, God has a purpose, you know. Today, let me tell you, I love my school. I'm not boasting, right? Almost all of my professors have actually brought me and my wife to their home for dinner. We have been specially invited to their house. And, you know, I didn't like the place, but I became, you know, a doctoral student representative too. And I think it was hard. But then I told, because of the encouragement my wife gave, and, you know, I was praying to God each and every day, I did what was expected. And I wanted to be faithful. I did my studies well, right? And I think then I realized, I think God has was able to work through things out for me. And so something like that, I think we need to be, you know, I could have said, you know, this is not the place for me. Let's pack my bags, you know, go something easier for me. No, my friend. Sometimes God puts you in a place, you know, it's difficult. But unless He brings you to another place, you need to be faithful in where you are. Trusting God will lead me, and if He leads you to another place, then I think He knows the best for our lives. Lastly, let me finish with this, the third one, lesson third. And he says in verse 17, you know, he says, in the meanwhile, what, you know, he says in verse 17, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's a sin for them. Proverbs also speaks about it, right? In other words, if I know this is good, and I ought to do, and I don't do it, come on, it's a sin. Can you imagine? I know this is what God wants me to do. It's a good thing. And I don't do it, it's a sin. I remember some time ago, I was driving. I told my family, and I even told my wife, you know, I was just driving. And I saw this lady. She fell off from a wheelchair. Something was telling me, you know, someone else will come and pick her up or, you know, help her. But I felt in my spirit that is not right. Maybe that someone is me. So what happened, I just stopped, you know, the traffic. I just ran after her because I was just willing to, you know, to get a ticket. I'm fine. Said, imagine, I know I need to do which is good. And if I don't do it, according to the word of God, it is a sin, my friend. And so, in other words, James is saying each and every day, you know, I should be doing whatever God wants me to do. It's a good thing that God wants me to do it. And if I don't do it, it's a sin. It's a sin. And I know some of you are theologically trained people. There are 2 kinds of sin. You know, in theology we turn to study, right? It's called the sin of omission. In other words, we know but refuse to do it. We know that I should be doing as a member of the church, you know, this is what is expected. I should be doing, but I don't do it. It's a sin. I know there is a need in this particular ministry, right? I can help, but I don't do it. Then it's a sin, my friend. And that's the way, you know, James is saying, you know, God has given us opportunities, you know, and you need to be found doing. If you're not doing, a sin. If you're not encouraging your brother and you know so-and-so is having a difficult time and you are not doing it, it's a sin. And when I look at the sin of omission, it's easy to hide, right? For example, our devotion, we know we ought to do it and we don't do it. It's a sin. It's easy to hide. Our prayer life, it's easy to hide. Our giving is easy to hide. And so sins of omission, you know and you don't do it. So what James is saying, you know, each and every day, you know, you do and you do what God wants you to do. If you and the Lord gives you a burden to share your testimony or the gospel to someone, and if you don't do it, let me tell you, it's a sin, my friend. It's a sin. There's another type of sin. It's called the sin of commission, right? You take action. In other words, you take effort to do it, to commit a particular sin intentionally or unintentionally. You know, in 1 Corinthians, you read about it, murder, adultery, and all that, right? In other words, you know, and you do it, kind of a thing. So it's called the sin of commission. So that's what James is saying. Do not put off doing good. Do what is important, what is good. If God has given you a burden to share His love, don't postpone it, my friend. Share it. If God has given you a burden to be involved in the lives of people or in the lives of the church in terms of ministry, right, do it. As a pastor, you know, this is my prayer that each and every one of us would be doing some kind of ministry. Not only EMT, not only the elder board, but each and every one of us, right? It could be ushering. It could be encouraging some young people. It can be refreshments, right? It can be coming and helping out in tag. It can be worship, right? It can be things that is even beyond the church. Maybe starting a small Bible study group in your campus, a discipleship group in your workplace, right? Or wherever you are, invite your friends and say, hey, let's pray together, kind of a thing. And you know you ought to do. And if you don't do it, it's a sin. And so James is telling us, you know, don't put off doing good, right? Always include God. Don't take things for granted, you know, and then he's wanting to live so that, you know, we will be do whatever is needful each and every moment, trusting God. Let me close with a story. I'm not going to show the next slide to you. I was reading this particular story, I think. Can I ask you a science question? Right? Who invented light bulbs? Come on. Yes, Edison. Yes. Good, you pass. It's about Thomas Edison, right? Thomas Edison, you know, according to history, it says, you know, in the year 1879, he invented, he discovered the light bulbs. But before that, there was someone in England who actually did it. But then I think Edison was able to invent something that, you know, the light bulb will last for a longer period of time. So Edison was the one. I was reading this particular story about Edison, very interesting, fascinating story. And so Edison was making a bulb that will last for a longer period of time so that people will use. And just to make that particular bulb, it took 24 hours. Can you imagine just one bulb? 24 hours. And so Edison and his team were just working on it, and finally they did this particular bulb. And so once it was done, they were supposed to transport this bulb, which was big in those days, to another facility. So you know what Edison did? Instead of carrying himself or carrying the pot by himself to the other facility, he saw a young boy who was just standing around the lab. He was also helping out. And he called the young boy. He said, "Boy, come, you know, can you come here? Can you carry this bulb to the other facility?" Can you imagine? 24 hours non-stop without break. They were actually working on this particular, fabricating this bulb, and they finally did it. And he called a young lad and said, you know, carry it to the other facility. This young lad was so nervous, right? His hands were shaking. Do you think he brought it to the other facility? Because the way my hands are shaking, you will know he would have dropped it. Yes, I think by the time he went to the facility, he dropped the bulb. Edison, you know, was not frustrated. He called his team again. And they worked. They spent another 24 hours fabricating another bulb. Just another one bulb. Once they were done, it was supposed to be brought to the other facility. Do you think he will call the lad? How many of you will say yes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No. Not sure. Interestingly, he called the same young boy and said, come and carry the bulb to the other facility. When I was reading this particular story, I was telling myself, no, God has given us this opportunity. And he says, you know, I've given you another opportunity. I'll bring it to the other facility. And so if Edison can do it, you know, God wants us to do it, right? And God says, you know, do not include me. And I still have given you that opportunity to carry, you know, my desires, my plan for your life, right? Carry it to the other facility. Include me in the journey, because I want to be part of the journey. I want to be and take life seriously, right? Plan for the future, but live each and every moment, day by day. And by day, if tomorrow doesn't come, that's fine, because God in his sovereign will has a different purpose altogether, kind of a thing. And do good every day, whenever possible. If not, it's a sin, my friend. It's a sin. Thank God for the opportunity that God has given to us. Let's pray. Thomas Edison could have easily ignored the young boy and said, you know, he's too young. He will drop the bulb again. But he called the young guy again and gave him the bulb. Dear friends, I think, let's not take life for granted. Let's include God in everything that we do, even in our career, the program that we want to take, even in the causes, in the decisions that we want to do, even in our family. Include God. Include Him. It's wonderful to plan. It's wonderful to have desires in our life, but include God in everything. Tell yourself, it's the Lord's will. He will lead me. If not, He will show me another path. But I want to be faithful each and every day. I want to live each and every day trusting and hoping on the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever there is an opportunity to do good, whenever the Lord speaks to me, let me not postpone it, but let me find time and immediately do it. Because God wants to see my faithfulness, whether I'm obedient to Him. I think God has given us that opportunity again. Father, we thank you, Lord, another time, another time that we can hear you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to include you in every moment of our lives. It might be the minute thing, O God. Even when we eat, O God, let us include you in our prayers and say, Lord, protect us. Give us, O Lord, bless this food to nourish our bodies. Help us, Lord, to do good, Lord, whenever we see, whenever your Spirit speaks to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.